Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
There are miracles all around you. And there, you know, hey, somebody in here might even need a miracle. I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready. Hey, check this out, man. If you don't come early, man, you're missing something. The VIP, anybody see the VIP team out there? Woo! They are rocking it, right? They are out there still doing their job. I talked to one, he's like, man, I haven't gotten into service yet. I'm like, you keep doing what you're doing right here. This is awesome. So come, there's a little CD in here. If for nothing else, man, you could just get this CD with Pastor Ron's picture on it. You know what I'm saying? It is good. You didn't need to get it for that. It's awesome. So, and you get this if you're a first-time guest. So some of you guys need to get busy, and we're kind of full in here. So you might even need to come back to the first service, but bring a friend. Take them to the VIPs, all right? You will love it, all right? I'm telling you, it's good stuff. All right, we're good. Good. So we get to talk about miracles. Some of you guys in here may need a miracle. Miracles are all around you, and you know what? They may not even be what you think they are. Can we explore some miracles together? Can we do that? All right, let's do it. I like it. So that little bumper I showed, man, things like that happen all around. And then that's just, some people want to call it a coincidence. Some people want to call it a miracle. I don't know. But let me tell you this. John 14:12 says this. Is what we need to. We're going to lay a foundation first about what miracles are, talk about it a little bit, and then we're going to talk about the greatest miracles ever, of course, after the resurrection of Christ. Man, that is like the most incredible miracle ever. John 14:12 says this, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask anything in my name. Say anything. And I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Here's verse 14. Listen to this and get it, people, get it. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. That's the Bible, yo. Man, the Bible, take it. It's truth, man. It will not change. Bam. How many of you guys are ready to do some miracles even greater than Jesus did? Anybody ready? Come on, I hope you're ready. Some of you guys are like, I want to be ready, but I don't think I'm worthy. That's fine. That's fine. You don't have to feel that right now. We got to walk in humility. But I'm telling you, man, some of you guys got miracles in you. Some of you guys need a miracle. Man, it's a good thing to be in church today. Anybody glad to be in church? Man, somebody right up in this area. I like it right in here, man. Actually, I like all you guys, okay? You're like kids, you know. I just love them all the same. All right, so anyways. Let's talk about first, what is a miracle? First of all, it's about bias, I think. Your history of where you come, if you've come from Valley Bible and you've been born here. How many of you guys have been to Valley Bible? Because I know we just celebrated 40 years. How many of you guys have been here like almost that whole 40 years? Where's your hands out there? A few. How many guys 10 years or newer? Most of you, there we go. I like it. All right. How many of you guys first received Jesus as your Lord and Savior here at Valley Bible? Oh, I wish you could see that. That is awesome. That is awesome, man. Because you know what? A lot of churches would be like, how many of you guys got saved in this church? You'd be like, I just transferred here. But Valley Bible is doing it, man. I love it. So your bias, you bring in to an assumption of miracles, you bring in your bias, okay? And so some of you guys are kind of predisposed to saying that there are miracles around, all around us. Some of you are going to be kind of presupposed to, you know, there's not really any miracles around. I need more scientific data or whatever. So we're going to deal with all of this. But let me just say this. It's kind of tough to make a serious case about miracles and what they are in light of pop culture, in light of where we are in society, right? So there are people that say they don't believe in miracles. There are some that say there used to be miracles that were done, and they don't do that anymore. They're called cessationists. And cessationists believe that somewhere about 90 AD, all the miracles that need to be done have been done, so God stopped doing miracles. Why? We don't know. We just figured it out. I don't know. I'm just saying. Just kind of trying to be even here. Then some say there are miracles and God is a God of miracles. I'm down with that. That's kind of where I'm at. Some say there are miracles around us today, including the miracle of coffee this morning. Glory is right. I'll be like, no, actually, so, coffee brings me down a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I just started. No. And so the miracle, not only of coffee, but the miracle of finding your keys to your car right before church time. And then there's the miracle of running every green light, right? You didn't get stopped at all in the way to church. And then the miracle of miracles, finding a front row parking place at Valley Bible Fellowship, right? That don't happen often. So I say that kind of in jest, kind of being silly, but kind of not, because a church like this crowded, man, it is a kind of a hard thing to get a parking place, right? I see you guys going, yeah. But at the same time, is that really a miracle? Did God come down and go? You know, I don't know. I think at the end of the day, we're going to have to take our own personal opinion about what is miraculous and what is not. But there are some miracles that we're all going to agree on. To make things even more confusing, I did a little survey. I asked some people last week about miracles, and you know, a lot of things like childbirth came up, or things like, you know, God. And but then I Googled some stuff, and you know, the number one hit I got was Miracle on Ice, right? The 1980 hockey team. Okay, I'm down. I like sports. That's cool. Miracle on Ice. Hey, I mean, God really come down, and you know, is he the goalie? I don't know, but. And then there's a mall that's in Las Vegas, and it's called the Miracle Mile. And then there's also the Miraculous Salad Cream. Miracle Whip. I don't know. I'm just saying, right? It makes you scratch your head. Right? So what is a miracle? The Annunciation, right? The virgin birth. Salad cream. I get it. It's hard. So what it really is a miracle. Let me read you this. Some say they are a bigger than God incident in that they violate the natural order of what God said. But although God is beyond and above nature, he never violates any of its laws. Nature is nature and is not a straitjacket from which God cannot escape. If we deny him power to perform miracles, then he is no longer a God of freedom. Fair enough, right? Some people want to think that the universe and everything that we know it is all scientific. And that science can figure out everything. Science, you know, we can put a man on the moon. We can determine that the Big Bang happened 18 bajillion years ago. How, I do not know. But, you know, everybody thinks, you know, there's scientific evidence for everything. And I do know this, that because no one was back in the day with their HD Handycam Pro and, you know, recording the Big Bang, right? At least I don't know. Somebody, if it's a time machine, goes back, you know, let's talk. But as far as I know, like the miracle of creation is absolutely phenomenal, because you can believe it came accidental. And if you look that up, if you really under that persuasion that the universe kind of happened and, you know, God wasn't in charge of it, just look up those things about that and just study that. That's all I can say. There's a great book on miracles by Eric Metaxas. And we were talking about that, and Pastor Ron and I decided it'd be good to do a little follow-up miracle talk. And that's why I'm doing this today. But if you can believe that everything was an accident and it just so happened and we got lucky and the planets crashed with each other and they aligned and then, you know, we became animals and everything that science teaches, okay, that's fine. Or you can believe that there was a loving Heavenly Father that created things and spoke you into existence. Either way, yeah, I'm with you, yeah, yeah. Either way, and I know I've said this, I think, twice here already. Maybe it's just something that we need to hear, Valley Bible. Maybe something that I need to hear. But either way, it takes a matter of faith. You're going to have to put faith in the Big Bang, primordial goo, whatever, or you're going to have to put faith in an almighty God that's spoken. There's only two ways. And you could pick. And by the way, if you research it, I think we can talk. And I think you'll go, that really was a miracle for God Almighty to speak things into existence. So modern science and the Bible are really not that separated. In fact, I think the smarter we become, the more we really see that the Bible's way is the way. And sometimes there's, you know, different opinions, but I heard of a really conservative Christian that went to a liberal theological institution. And he was sitting in a lecture, and they were talking about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and crossing the Red Sea. And the professor said, well, you know, really, in the ancient Near East, we were not convinced that there was a body of water called the Red Sea. You see, in the ancient Near East, we can go back thousands of years and find out that there was never a large body of water there called the Red Sea, but indeed there was a tiny spillover off the Nile River called the Reed Sea. Now, in talking about the miracle of where the children of Israel came across the Reed Sea, it was only about 2 inches deep, and so they could all literally walk on dry land. And you hear in the back of the classroom, like, yeah, man, that's what I'm talking about! And the professor says, okay. He goes, I really want you to understand that the children of Israel only walked across on 2 inches of water because it was the Reed Sea. And the guy goes, praise God, that's what I'm saying. The professor goes, sounds like you have something to say. He goes, well, listen, if that's the case, I want you to see the miracle of God drowning thousands and thousands of Egyptians in 2 inches of water. Love it. I want to meet that cat. Let's give a definition. Miracle. I got this from Pastor Jim. An effect or extraordinary event in the physical world that surpasses all known human or natural powers and is ascribed to a supernatural cause. Fair enough. All right. All right. So we need a miracle. Let's talk about biblical miracles. By the way, my wife makes fun of me, by the way, I say miracle. Maybe I'm just a little sensitive about this, but if I say it and it sounds weird, I apologize. Okay? I was born in Bakersfield. I have that accent. All right, so that's what I'm saying. Now maybe you guys are the same thing. I'll say it that same way, brother. Go on. So there's probably about 200 miracles that we have recorded in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. They started way back at the beginning of Genesis. In fact, Genesis is the book of miracles, is it not? I mean, just all the way through, it's miracle after miracle. And then we have Jesus recorded miracles in the Gospels. We have recorded about 37 Jesus miracles. When I first read this, I'm like, oh, man, I thought there'd be like a couple thousand in the whole of the Bible, and I thought Jesus probably did, you know, 1,000 or 2 of those. And maybe he did. I'm sure we don't have all of them recorded. And there's some historical books that are not of Scripture, you know, Apocrypha, Pseudepigrapha, that tell these other stories about Jesus that are probably really just kind of like wives' tales, right? And not like the real thing, because they're not in our Bible for obvious reasons. But I thought there should be a few more. But the 37 miracles that we have are phenomenal. And I think what a common denominator of the miracles are is that God, who is outside of the system, wants to make a point inside of the system, right? So God creates time and energy and mass and everything that we have, but he is not part of that, right? And so since he's not part of that, when the divine comes in, the infinite comes into a finite situation. Psalm says this. Psalm says if God were to set foot on planet Earth, you know what would happen? The mountains would melt into the valley and they would fill up, all right? The earth would just become like this topographical-less orb and everything would cease to exist with God's foot. And by the way, the Bible does call earth God's footstool. So I don't know. But I do know that when God outside of a system comes and inserts himself into the system, things happen that are different. All right? So we get these worldwide cataclysmic events that take place. Man, no matter where you are, no matter where you've come from, no matter who you are or your background, you know about the Ten Commandments, right? Because they are something that God says, I'm going to pierce the fabric of time and space as we know it, and I'm going to come down, and I'm going to do something so significant that everybody's going to know it. You may have a different take on it. You may have a different impersonation or interpretation, but you know, everybody knows about the Ten Commandments. It is when God led his people out of Egypt into the Promised Land. Boom. That's what it is. All right, no denying it. Now, did you guys see the new movie about the Moses, the Exodus thing, whatever? I'm like, I wasn't really into it because I think it's some people trying to say, you know, there's miracles, but this was probably more along the lines of a natural thing. And so they had, instead of the Nile, remember the old school Ten Commandments, right? The Yul Brynner and Charlton Heston, right? And Charlton Heston was Moses, and he was overdramatic, man. He's just, you know, flying in the wind and, you know, gray white hair. And he takes and throws his staff into the water. did Moses really do that? He's probably like, oh, I hope this works. You know, but that was Moses, not Charlton Heston. And we know Charlton Heston knows the end result, man. Hollywood's going to work its magic. So he's like, and he does that, right? And then it starts out slow. You guys seen it, right? And it's, and the next thing you know, the whole, and it's like, and then the guy's pouring water and it turns into blood and all that. And the new one, alligators, crocodiles, whatever, they come and attack everybody and the blood in the water becomes the blood. Whatever. Okay, right? I'm just like swinging a miss. But I mean, that's all right. Fine. So again, even Hollywood has its take on what a miracle is. All right, so at the end of the day, we're going to have to decide what we think are true miracles and what are not. Many miracles were performed by Christ only. And there are seven categories of miracles. I'm going to go through these really, really quick. If you're taking notes, bam, these are for you. Number one, there were supernatural acts of creation. We talked about that, Genesis 1. Number two, there were miracles which involved a temporary and localized suspension of laws regulating nature. Okay, the wind and the waves, Jesus calmed the storm, Jesus walked on the water. Number three, there were signs in which involved the healing of a person's body, right? The blind see, the lame walk, right? You guys know these miracles. Number four, signs demonstrating divine power over death. How many people did Jesus raise from the dead? Anybody know? Get a number in your mind. You don't have to shout it out. Get a number in your mind. He healed four people. He healed Jairus' daughter. He healed the centurion's daughter. He healed, you know, all the way healed, rose from the dead. And then he brought Lazarus back from the dead, and then he brought himself back from the dead. So four people. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. One would have been good enough, and Jesus is four times that. All right. Some of the wonders in the New Testament age had to do with the expulsion of demons that had entered a human's body. Number six, the exhibition of divine authority was seen in the manipulation of certain material things, right? When Jesus turned water into wine, when he multiplied the loaves and fishes. Scripture says 5,000 men, and that's true, but men had women and children with them, and so there was probably like not just Jesus feeding 5,000, but more likely he was feeding 12 to 15,000. That's legit, dude. You thought it was just Wonder Bread and fish, tuna sandwiches, right, for 5,000? It was tuna for 15, man. So that's even like way better. Amen. A few, and there's one more one. Signs of miraculous power that demonstrated in both plant and animal kingdoms. Balaam's donkey, right? Did you guys know that? If you guys haven't read the story about a guy named Balaam, go look it up. Balaam's donkey talked to him. God made a donkey talk. Isn't that awesome? And some of you guys know that he still does that today. Don't look at your neighbor. Okay, so if you looked at your spouse, please slap yourself right now. You should not do that. They did happen, but do they still happen? Are miracles still around? Have they been disproven? Or are they still here? I think let's go on. Let's talk about what is the purpose of miracles. Okay, so now we're gonna peel the onion a little bit. We're gonna talk about purpose, all right? Here's where we start getting a little tricky. Number one, let me read this scripture to you. Proverbs 25:2. It is God's privilege to conceal things and the king's privilege to discover them. God wants us to chase him. God wants us to chase after him. Because if not, God can become like a genie in a lamp. Right? If we don't make it about God, but we make it about us, if prayer becomes about what we want and not what God wants, again, we have God as a genie in a lamp. Oh, God, give me this. Oh, God, let me win the lottery. Oh, God, let my kids stop being rebellious. Maybe you didn't hear me. God, no, I was kidding. Teenagers, right? But when we pray, it needs to be that we pray to God for his will in our lives. If we pray according to his will, it will be done. All right? So we need to understand that God may put things out there so we can chase after it, so we can work after it. Every good parent knows, man, you want to give your kids everything, but you do not. Because they need to work for stuff, right? And they need to get their own little lumps on their head, and they need to fall, and they need to try, and they need to get better. You hear what I'm saying? It's the same thing every time we go to the gym, man. It's not a failure. I could not lift that much weight. Well, you know what? Lower it, and then like by the end of the month, then maybe you could get it. You hear what I'm saying? And that's how God does, is he says, I want you to seek after me and find it. So what is the purpose of miracles? Number one, God knows. He just knows. He's omniscient, he's providential, and he can do what he wants to do. He's God, right? You are not God. He is not you. God's going to do what God's going to do. Let me say it again. God's going to do what God's going to do. I don't know how to, I mean, that's it just doesn't get any more complex than that, right? You just read the Bible and you go, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I see your character. It just speaks the character of God. Just chase after it. Embrace it. Understand it. That's fine. Understanding is overrated sometimes, by the way, right? If God says, just go, yes, sir, and you do it, right? God knows. We talked about it a little bit, but again, I believe one of the purposes of miracles is that God, who is outside of time and life and space and forces we know it, comes into our universe to make a pivotal statement in a pivotal time, right? Ten Commandments, man. Thousands of years ago, everybody still knows it. And guess what? I believe everybody for the end of time will know it. I do. Christ's death, whether you believe in it or not, pivotal thing in all of history. In all of history, right? The Old Testament, man, they were waiting for a sign. They knew it would come. They had it in the year when Christ was born. And we have the honor of looking back at it, knowing it was true, believing it was true. No one's going to deny that Jesus was here, that Jesus died. Now, some would say he didn't rise from the dead. They're kind of brain dead. No, I'm just kidding. They're really not. But I shouldn't even say stuff like that, huh? Forgive me, Valley Bible, because there are people out there probably that just don't believe it. But it is an historical provable fact. You can find it. There's research toward it. But back to the miraculous thing. God inserts himself in a pivotal time to perform miraculous signs and wonders. And then John chapter 9 to show his power. John chapter 9 is essentially this. If we have the scriptures, we can put them on the screens, but if not, I'm just going to paraphrase. Jesus and his disciples see a beggar. We're just going to read this. Well, just keep that there. I'm going to tell the story, set some backdrop. Jesus and his disciples are walking by a beggar that was blind. People know this beggar. He's in the same place. He's been born blind. His disciples said to Jesus, hey, Jesus, why is this guy born blind? Did he sin or did his parents sin? Wrong answer, right? That is just not, I mean, Jesus is probably going, how long have I walked with you guys? What's the deal, really? There was no sin involved. And Jesus says this to the man. He said, this happened so the power of God could be seen in him. That's why he needed a miracle. So we don't understand that. So I'm asking myself, why would God let a guy be born blind? Here's the deal, man. This isn't a popular thing to talk about in the culture in which we are, but he did. I'm sorry, it's just scripture. And he did it so that, again, this happened so the power of God could be seen in him. He's the guy that later on, man, the religious Pharisees at the time, they were hacked off, man, that Jesus was healing on the Sabbath. So they grabbed this guy and they're like, who healed you? He goes, look, Jack, I don't know who healed me or who not. All I know is I was blind, now I see. Sometimes that's all you need. And by the way, when we're talking about the miracle, we're going to talk in just a little bit about the miracle of salvation. When you talk about the miracle of salvation, your own salvation, you don't have to explain everything about everything to everybody. You just go, look, man, I was a dork, and now I am saved, right? That's all you need to say, man. I was talking with a cat outside in the courtyard in between services. He told me, yeah, man, I used to be out carousing. I used to be out drinking. I used to do this. And he goes, just one day, a buddy kept after me. He goes, man, let's go out to the bar. His buddy goes, no, man, we're going to church. Well, let's go out and do this. No, man, I'm going to church. So finally, he goes to church. And this guy comes and he gets saved, right? His wife just got baptized in between services last couple hours ago. That was awesome. Yeah. And by the way, men of God, I specifically asked him, I said, so did your wife and kids, were they kind of, you know, here first? He goes, no, man. He goes, I got saved first and then I brought my wife and kids. So men of God, listen to me. If you're here today and your wife and kids are not with you yet, don't underestimate the power of a man of God. Okay? And you need to lead your family in the ways of God, gentlemen. Women, let me talk to you. Some of you guys have some unbelieving husbands that are home right now at Bedside Baptist. Never stop praying, ladies. Children, never stop praying. Your family will come to God. We're going to believe that. And you know, that might be a miracle. All right, we can celebrate that. That might be a miracle that we need to get today before we leave. So let's pray for that, should we? All right, let's move on. So here's what I would say. What do we need to know about miracles? What do we need to know? 2 Peter 1:3 says this, "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence." What that is saying is this. The Bible doesn't tell us everything we need to know about everything, but it tells us everything we need to know. All right? It doesn't have every answer to everything. A lot of people say the Bible is the answer to everything. Well, it's really kind of not. It's the answer to everything you need to know, pretty much about salvation, how to live your life. You know, I don't think like a teenager is going to go, "Oh God, just right now, I'm going to open the Bible and I need to know the answer to my algebra quiz." It ain't there. It's not there. But it tells us everything we need to know, period, about life, about salvation, about us, okay? We understand about that? So it tells us just enough to know about miracles. And I do know this. I want you to know about miracles. Know this. Love the miracle giver. Seek the miracle giver, not miracles. I think we need to clap on that one. Seek God. Seek God more than you seek a miracle, right? Miracles are awesome, man, but you need God more than you need a miracle. And by the way, miracles are all around you. Watch, I'm telling you, hang on, we're getting there. It's coming. But you need to seek God more than you seek miracles, because if you got God, you got everything, man. Yeah. Don't put God in a box, right? Don't feel like you got to figure it out, because God doesn't want to be in a box. Jesus never did miracles for himself, even when he was on the cross. He could have called a bunch of angels. "Hey, I'm kind of hurting over here. Come get me down. Bring me a number one at Chick-fil-A and get me off this cross." I don't mean to make light of Christ's crucifixion. Please hear me wrong. Don't hear me wrong. I'm saying that Jesus never did those things. He never performed a miracle out of personal self-interest. When he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, he did not do a miracle and, you know, get himself out of the situation. He suffered. He did it all. He knows what it's like to be tempted every which way that you and I are tempted. And it had to be that way. So, miracles happen, but they still happen today. I have prayed for people, and there have been miraculous things that have happened. I prayed for a lady once. Her name was Judy. She was going to have surgery. She had her eyes all bundled up, man. She could not see. She couldn't do anything. And so I just went over. She was a worker in this one office. And so I went over, and I said, "Hey, Judy, I heard you're going to have surgery, man. I just want to pray for you." So I prayed for her, and I just left. I'm just like, "God, pray for her, you know, whatever." And when I get back to the office, there's an answer on, there's a message on my phone, and she said, "I can see! You prayed, and like 10 minutes after you left, I can see!" And I'm like, whoa. I mean, that's cool. I've prayed for people. I mean, and stuff has happened like that, and I've prayed for people, and nothing has happened. I guess I don't have a healing ministry, right? And that's fine. That's fine. I'll take whatever. I mean, whatever God wants to give me, I'll take it. But I personally know that miracles still happen. But I also know this, the greatest miracles are right around us, and sometimes we are too blind to see them. Okay, we're going to keep going here. Miracles are not what we think. John 4, 46 through 50. "As Jesus was traveling through Galilee, he came to Canaan, where he turned the water into wine. There was a government official nearby in Capernaum whose son was very sick. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went out and begged Jesus to come to Capernaum to heal his son, who was about to die. Jesus asked, 'Will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders?' But the official pleaded, 'Lord, please come now before my little boy dies.' And Jesus told him, 'Go back home, your son will live.' And the man believed what Jesus said and started home." The reason I bring that passage up is because sometimes we just want a sign. We want a magic trick. And Jesus is like, "Look, dude, it's not about a magic trick." So this guy comes to him and says, "Jesus, will you heal my son?" And I think Jesus knew where he was coming from. But at the same time, I think Jesus pushed back on him and said, "Is that all you want is a trick? Is that all you want is some kind of magic? Is that what a miracle is for you?" And the guy's like, "Look, Jesus, I don't care about a sign and a wonder. I want my boy healed." And Jesus goes, "Oh, in that case, done." Done, right? I'm gonna add on to this, okay? Because it just gets better. So I'm gonna read. Let me do this. Let me tell you. Okay, so miracles are not just some kind of parlor magic trick. In fact, miracles, I wanted to say miracles are overrated, but I didn't feel like in the integrity of my heart I could say that, because they're not overrated. But I wanted to say that because a lot of times we're looking for this big, cataclysmic, worldwide, you know, kind of a magic trick kind of thing. And miracles sometimes have that element, but sometimes not. And even when we do see the awe in a miracle, sometimes it really doesn't change our heart. For instance, the children of Israel who came out of Egypt in Exodus 14, right? They crossed the Red Sea, whatever, right? Anyways, they walked across on dry land, Egyptians drowned, all right. So in chapter 14, the children of Israel come across the Red Sea. In chapter 15, Moses sings a song, gives thanks. Miriam grabs her tambourine and sings that whole thing, horse and rider thrown into the sea, right? And then the next chapter, which is, okay, 3 days later. Again, let's review. 10 commandments, man, right? Plagues of locusts, frogs, flies, water to blood, man. The death angel comes. Egypt is mourning. Hailstones, the whole deal. Egypt rides, opens up the door, lets Israel ride right out, right? Israel gets stuck between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea. God parts the Red Sea. They walk on dry land. When the Egyptians try to go in, the water drowns them all, right? This just happened, right? Then they all get all excited. Yeah, God is good. Yeah, yeah. 3 days later, 3 days, they start complaining again. See, this is why I know that it's not by accident that they are called the children of Israel. You see what I'm saying? So the children of Israel, and they didn't just complain. They're like murmuring. Oh, Moses, you brought us out here in the middle of Egypt, in the middle of the desert, just so we could die. Right? Isn't that kids? They're not just, hey, Dad, I'm a little hungry. Like, oh, Dad, I'm going to starve. Really? You're going to starve? Okay. And that's what the children of Israel were doing, man. They're like, you brought us out here to kill us. So God's like, all right, Moses, listen. I'm going to give them manna in the morning. I'm going to give them quail in the evening. Okay. Then they said, oh, we don't have any water. Now we need water. Moses brought us out here so we could die. We don't have any water. Twice he asked for water. Can you imagine this? We would think, right? We would think that if we saw a miracle of biblical proportions, that it would change our lives. We go, there is a God. I mean, for Pete's sake, man, they're being led around in the wilderness by a cloud of fire and a pillar of fire and a cloud, man. I mean, how could they like say that God brought them out just to kill them? They see all these miracles. They're a living miracle. 40 years they wandered around in Egypt and their clothes didn't even wear out. It's a miracle. But they complain the whole time. Let me read one other scripture and I'll make this point. The rich man and Lazarus. This is a weird passage, but it talks about how we need to believe in the providence of God, and it talks about how miracles are somewhat overrated. So listen here. Luke 16. Jesus said, there was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen and who lived each day in luxury. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus who was covered with sores. As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and his soul went to be to the place of the dead. There in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. The rich man shouted, Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am in anguish and in these flames. But Abraham said to him, Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted and you are in anguish. And besides, there is a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over from here to you and no one can cross over from us to there. So the rich man said, please, Father Abraham, listen to this people. This is incredible right here. Please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home, for I have 5 brothers and I want him to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment. But Abraham said, Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote. The rich man replied, listen. The rich man replied, no, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent from the dead, they will repent of their sins and turn to God. But Abraham said, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone raises from the dead. Here's the deal. We could bring a dead body in here every Sunday and ask God to bring him back to life. And if God did, we'd have the hugest church ever. But guess what? It still would not be enough. Just like the children of Israel, right? They saw miracle after miracle. dead guys getting up. Evangelist Reinhard Bonnke, it's documented. He prayed for a guy in Africa. The guy rose from the dead. He'd been dead for like 3 days. Right? He'd already been at the embalmer. He hadn't been embalmed, but he'd already been at the mortician. He'd been like ready to be embalmed and all. Here's the deal. Stuff like that happens. But in our hearts, we're going, maybe not really. Right? And it's the same thing. We are like the children of Israel. We see miracles and we kind of go, right? We think. So it's almost like we want our cake and eat it too. We think if a miracle would happen, it would change our life. And even if we did see one, we're like, But God has already told us in his word that even if you see a miracle, it doesn't matter because Moses and the prophets, i.e. the Bible, have already showed you miracle after miracle. You need to believe in those first. I'm going to close with a couple of things here. This is called the miracle of me. Say the miracle of me. Look at your neighbor and say, I am a miracle. I saw how some of you guys did that. You looked at the girl next to you, you'd be like, I. It's all good. It's all good. We're in church. The miracle of creation, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In general, God made everything. We already talked about it. It's not an accident. We're here by purpose, by God's bidding. How we got here? There was God, not evolution. We already talked about that. Scientists think that they, I heard a story. Scientist got so smart, he thought he could actually create somebody just like God did. And so he goes, God, through our scientific discoveries, we have found out how you made the first human. So God goes, all right, let's have a contest. So he goes, all right, we're going to make a human just like we did with Adam. Okay? All right, done. So the guy gets up there and he reaches down and grabs dirt. And God goes, hey, you can't do that. You got to get your own dirt. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So not only were we created by God to be in this place, to be now, but you know what? Mom had to have her family tree. Dad had to have his. They had to come together, and you are here. The miracle that your parents met, the miracle of childbirth. Man, it's awesome. By the way, did you know kids are hereditary? If your parents didn't have any, you probably won't either. On the way home, I'm confident some of you guys will get that. Took me 3 or 4 times my first time. There is a miracle of creation, and you are a miracle of creation. There is a miracle of salvation. Say, my miracle of salvation. Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all deserve death from the beginning of time. If you sin, you die. If you sin, you go to hell. That's just how it is. Every one of us have sinned. We all deserve hell. That's it. See you guys later, okay? That's it. However, what if... Let's just think. Let's just put our lawyer caps on. We understand that we are supposed to die and go to hell because, well, we all have sinned. However, what if there was a sinless person that could come, live a life that is sinless, take our sins, die with those sins, thus giving us freedom, and that person would be dead and we would live? Could that work? Yes. Show me how that would work. Well, I will. His name is Jesus, and he did it. He died with the sins of mankind on him. He didn't just stay dead. So when he rose again, he left all those sins where they should have been dead. And for us to live again, all we have to do is accept his death, and we get to live his life. Yeah. A to the man. So let's review this. Someone traded our place on death row with us, right? We got out of the death penalty. The guy who took our place on death row, he died, but then he came back from the dead, and then he met up with us again and said he was going to take us to a foreign land and build us a mansion and give us immortality. Yes, what I'm saying, right? Is that what I'm hearing? I'm hearing that we get to have our cake and eat it too. All because of what? You guys know the answer. Here's the deal. We need to realize that we have the miracle of creation all around us. We have the miracle of salvation all around us. We have the miracle of calling and purpose all around us. Many are called, few are chosen. says Matthew 22. 2 Timothy says, "For God saved us and called us to live a holy life, that he did this because not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from the beginning of time to show us his grace through Christ Jesus." John 6, "For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent him draws them to me, and in that last day I will raise them up." Why does the God of the universe want to use you and me? Here's the answer. I have no idea. I really don't know. I don't get it. But he does. So let's review here. There is the miracle of creation, the miracle of your birth, the miracle that you're here today, the miracle of salvation, that you don't have to die if you trust Jesus' life, the miracle of calling and purpose, that God Almighty, for whatever reason, wants to use you. And then lastly, this, the miracle of destiny. The miracle that God wants to use you. Yes, you. Teenagers, you only have one life of being a teenager, one chance to use that for God. 20-somethings, 30-somethings, you only have that time. You only have one shot at it to serve God with that. My senior saints, you only have one time to be that grandparent, to be that next-door neighbor, because once that passes by, once today is gone, you don't have today anymore. We have a chance to serve God today. We have a chance to be used by God today. We have a chance to be miraculous today. We have a chance to get our miracle and to be a miracle for others today. So I'm talking about. So if you need a miracle today, you can have it. If you just need to realize that you have miracles all around you, you got it, man. I hope you've been listening. All right? But I'm going to give you a chance to receive the greatest miracle of all in just a second. If you have not yet received the miracle of salvation, now is the time. Today is your day. Do not wait. Do not delay. I had to make that rhyme. I'm going to give you a chance in just a second. Our prayer counselors are going to come out. They're going to be up here in the front. And if you have not yet received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not yet received his sacrificial death as your own and prayed the prayer of repentance and said, "God, forgive me. I need to live. I have sinned. I'm tired of living for myself." We're going to give you a chance to do that in just a second. I'm going to pray with you, okay? Will you consider that? If you have not yet received the miracle of salvation, today, we're going to give you a chance to get that. And then secondly, in just a second, we're going to pray. But before I do that, there's one other person that I'm going to talk to. And that's the person that needs to realize that there is a miracle waiting for them. And it's the miracle of destiny that God wants to give you. God wants to use you today, sir. He's called you today. You are ruined by the fact that you're in this room. You cannot live your life selfishly without a thought anymore. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know that God wants to use you. Yeah. And by the way, any remorse, I'm just going to be regret-free right now. If you've got all these things in the past, you know, in the past, God has told you when you were a little kid in Sunday school, you're going to do this for me and you're going to do that for me. And then the wheels fell off when you became a teenager or whatever, right? And you started living life for yourself. And now you're back and you're like, "I have so many regrets." Forget that, man. God is a God bigger than regrets. Yeah, it doesn't matter how bad things got. He wants to use you today. Please let us pray for you, man. We're going to wipe the junk off. We're going to wipe the guilt off. We're going to break the chains. We're going to set you free so that you can live your life today going forward for God and the miracle of destiny. Amen. Pray this prayer with me. I'm going to pray a prayer, and then I'm going to have you guys respond to it.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is